my freedom, I'll keep my guns. Try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes' pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe. You bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need. We know who to blame. United Socialist States of America. How do you like that name? I'll keep the USA and y'all can keep the change.
Central bankers, believe it or not, in America are kept awake at night pondering and worrying about when will the dollars come home and how are they going to handle it?
Welcome back to Liberty and Finance and Reluctance.
My common sense tells me that there will come a point with the Fed spending the way they are and the way that I believe they have to continue, there will come a point where the rest of the world will collectively say no more dollars in trade. Not to say that the rest of the world will refuse to trade with America, but we're probably going to find out for sure whether America really has 8,000 tons of gold. Because I can see a day coming when countries like China, like Russia, like Germany, like other countries in the European Union say, you know, we're willing to continue trading with you, America, but we just don't want dollars anymore. You're going to have to pay us in something else. And I think that day is fast approaching.
And what do you think, my friends? Good evening. Jeffrey Bennett here for The Edge live tonight. I don't even want to discuss last night. And it made it even worse when John just talked to me a moment ago and said he had a dream about me last night that I bumped myself off. No, that ain't about to happen. But Lord knows. Oh, my God. Well, you heard the opening comments. I think it's quite distinct. Where's our 8,000 tons of gold? Does it exist? A piece that came out a couple of days ago, I did not see until this morning, dated June 15th. And even this is interesting because it's still a month behind. This is the problem with the government, with their truth and honesty, as it were. All their information always comes out a month in arrears. Foreign investors continued selling U.S. Treasury bonds and notes in the month of April. April. This is the second half of June. Well, these numbers are according to the Treasury Department data as of this past Monday. But it is a slower rate than the record-setting pace of March. On a transaction basis, foreigners sold 176,703 billion dollars in U.S. treasuries in April. In March, it was just under 299 billion. What was it for May? And so I think that the comment we shared just after the opening music is quite apropos. Fewer and fewer nations are going to want to do business with this country, and they're damn sure not going to accept payment in cash. But then how much did Barack Obama load on a plane and send over to our friends in Iraq or Iran or wherever the hell it was? I don't know. Markets, I got to be honest, with all that's been going on this week, I've not watched markets much at all. Dow Jones was off just under 40 points today to close at 26,080. S&P 500 was up 185 at 31.15. The NASDAQ was up 32.5 to close at 99.43. They're not that far away from the $10,000 for the 10,000 point figure. Global Dow's down a little bit. In fact, Global Dow is down exactly the same amount, 1.85, oop, now 1.97, as the S&P 500 was. Oil up 38 cents. We're sitting at about 39.22 right now. Interesting stories about oil are coming out more and more. I'm beginning to watch them. There's some very interesting potential future information on oil that we're not going to get into today, but I want to see more and more of it, and we'll go from there. Crazy stuff. Looking at other headlines here, I haven't even looked at all day today. I've had no time. I've been excruciatingly busy. Yesterday, I was physically and completely drained. The night before, which was Tuesday night, I had to tackle a project. And it was to move my office and studio back to a previous location in the home. And it's interesting because I have to move other furniture out of that room first, which was a bedroom. And that was not an easy thing to do. And then it's vacuuming because of all the, oh, God, what a nightmare. And then I wound up mopping eventually. But interesting enough, a friend of mine who had done a lot of the work with me on the project 5 years ago at my son's house when I was renovating the house, he and I went to dinner the other night. And he came over. He wanted to buy some silver and some copper and stuff. And I had some stuff here he looked at. But he helped me move the desk. He has helped me move that desk more than anyone. He knows exactly what we need to do. I had stopped at Home Depot on the way home to pick up some new gliders. And saw some that I'd never seen before, much, much thicker, which made moving this unbelievable desk so much easier. And then, of course, it's getting it all set up and getting this plugged in, the computers, the this, the that, et cetera. I'm going to tell you what, I overdid it because by yesterday I was so physically drained. And that's in addition to some other emotional drains that are going on right now. Let's take a look and see what the metals did today. Rhodium is climbing back up again. It's up around 6,000 points. It was 5,000 last time we brought it up. Palladium up $2 today at 1832. Platinum up $1 at 793. Silver up a couple pennies at 1738. Yeah, both silver and gold have come down a bit this week. And for those who are interested in buying, that's a good deal. I have not looked at any product availability all week. That may sound odd to you because that's in effect what I do. That's one of the things I do. But I will tell you right now, I don't have any kind of a specific offer to make tonight, because I've not spoken to a single one of my suppliers all week. So I have no idea what's out there, what's available, where we can get the best prices right now. I did a project for a client about 2 weeks ago that encompassed 4,000 ounces of silver. And I'm telling you, I shopped and I shopped and I shopped. I found a phenomenal product for his IRA that, frankly, saved this guy a massive amount of money. If I had gone with American Eagles for those 4,000 ounces, it would have cost him $12,000 more for the same number of ounces. That's insane. That's a waste of money. And then I think something else cropped up, and he wound up saving another $1,900. It was only about 45 minutes later the cost would have, in fact, been up. So, you know, we do try to do those things. And I've got a local guy that I normally go to for smaller orders. But for the large stuff, I've got other places I go to because I usually can get better buys and free shipping depending upon the number of ounces we're buying, etc. But I'm working on some things, and we'll maybe have some things published over the weekend. It's crazy. An interesting headline. I'm not going to get into the story today because I won't have time. It's kind of a follow-up to our opening about the massive amounts of U.S. treasuries that are being sold. People are dumping the dollar. Very interesting headline, which is published at Morgana Precious Metals right now, entitled, "It All Comes Back to the Federal Reserve. The New World Order is being shoved down our throats." Interesting piece to take a look at. And a couple of quick quotes, and we're going to move on. This one just got me. If getting drunk was how people forgot they were mortal, then hangovers were how they remembered. Just remember this. When markets slump, the choice is clear. This one is the mention of where I see their prices in 6 months. I will attempt to answer that in just a minute. When markets slump, the choice is clear. There's a picture of an old guy. Looks like granddad. Oh, old granddad whiskey. Yeah, many other quotes to go along with it. A listener wanted to know where I see silver prices in 6 months. You know, that's an interesting question, and I'm not going to try to avoid it, but I don't have the answer. It's something that I have avoided for many, many years. From a marketing standpoint, I could say, oh, my God, silver is going to be at $40, $50, $100 an ounce to try to get you all excited about buying. But there's a problem with that. There's too much going on in this nation and around the world right now to be able to get a real handle on that. My old friend Robbie Noel might have tried to take a guess with it because he technologically got far more in depth than I do. I have watched so many writers all over the web. You know, silver is going to, gold is going to go to 10,000. Oh my God, silver is going to hit $2,500. All this insane nonsense. It gets people excited, people that aren't too bright. And the problem is, if it gets to those kind of numbers, the dollar, as we know it, is dead. And don't kid yourself, we're not far from that. And we may be talking about that later in the program today. I've got to see what I've even got lined up. So it's not to avoid your question. I don't know the answer. And I stopped guessing that stuff many years ago because I don't care what I say, it's not going to be right. It's going to do exactly the opposite because of manipulation, because of what, mine cave-ins, closures of mines. Who knows what the reasons were? I don't sell newsletters. And most of these guys that start giving these outrageous prices on gold and silver, where it's going to be before the end of the year, I've seen some things that I think are reasonable. So sorry that I can't give you an answer, but that is my answer. I don't play guesswork games with it. It is what it is. I deal with the market situations as we deal with it, what's available to us. I wouldn't be all that concerned whether it went up or down because I've still got something of value in my hand. What is interesting to me is the kind of premiums that we have to keep paying to get this stuff. There's still a massive demand. And demand doesn't necessarily push spot up or down, but it's certainly having a bearing on what people are having to pay for the product. So that's kind of spooky. You know, want to get, you know, a little bit more specific, you can always feel free to call me, obviously not while I'm on the air. 623 let me give you the other number. 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. Always happy to chat with folks. My friends, we are almost 6 months into this year being done. You know, what a year it's been. First, we faced maybe the greatest public health crisis in 100 years. And then the U.S. economy imploded. Now the streets of many of our major cities resemble war zones after weeks of rioting and looting and violence. And the leaders of these debacles seem to somehow be managed to come up with all sorts of guns to put into the hands of the other idiots that are marching with them. It's all been one thing after another. It's taken a great toll on the mental health of the American people. It has done so with me. Of course, we're not exactly in great shape coming into this year. 2019, it was being reported that the suicide rate in the U.S. was at an all-time record high. Alcohol-related deaths at an all-time record high. Drug overdose deaths, all-time record high. And so the truth is that we are already deeply miserable before this year came along. And now there's a brand new survey which has discovered that as a result of everything that has happened so far this year, we become even more unhappy. 2020, according to one report, has been rough on the American psyche. Folks in the U.S. are more unhappy today than they've been in nearly 50 years. Wait a minute. 50 years ago, well, 50 years ago was home, but 52 years ago, I was sitting in Vietnam, and I was flying around, and I wasn't so damned unhappy. I know that may sound crazy to you, but I'm a strange bird. The report goes on to say that this bold yet unsurprising conclusion comes from the COVID response tracking study conducted by NORC at the University of Chicago. It finds that just 14% of American adults say that they're very happy, down from 31% who said the same thing in 2018. So would you say that you're very happy with your life right now, tonight? Well, I hope you are listening to me, but I'm just teasing. Well, I'd like to hope so. I'd like to think that most of our listeners are more content with their lives than the general population as a whole. Looks like most of the population definitely does not feel the same way that others do. According to this survey, the coronavirus lockdowns are one of the biggest reasons why Americans are feeling less happy these days. Being forced to stay away from others has caused an awful lot of people to feel increasingly lonely. About twice as many Americans report being lonely today as in 2018, not surprisingly, given the lockdowns that tried to contain the spread of the virus. But there's also been a drop in satisfaction with social activities and relationships. Compared with 2018, Americans are also about twice as likely to say they sometimes or often have felt a lack of companionship. They felt left out. Now, I got to be honest with you, companionship is not the big deal with me, okay? As I've gotten older, I find that I prefer being by myself. It's not a big deal. But one's got to understand that humans are inherently social creatures. We were created to love, to be loved. I think that our politicians greatly underestimated the damage that social isolation would cause for an awful lot of folks. In some cases, the consequences have been devastating. And an awful lot of Americans are also feeling unhappy these days due to economic reasons. Up to this point in 2020, more than 100,000 businesses have permanently shut down. Economic activity all over the planet has dropped precipitously. More than 44 million Americans have filed claims for unemployment benefits. Now, initially, it was hoped that most of those jobs would eventually come back, but now it's become very clear that that's not going to happen. In fact, one new estimate is projecting a whopping 42% of the job losses will be permanent. Hey, went to Home Depot the other day, and just as I was getting ready to turn in there, I commented on this the other night. There's a Starbucks right in front of there, not a single car in the drive-thru, and I realized they're closed. Now, it doesn't mean permanently, but they're closed right now. That's a pretty busy place when they're open. I know that Starbucks announced a couple weeks ago they're planning on closing some 400 Starbucks around the world. Interesting to me because one of the ones that my granddaughter and I used to go to, she's my middle granddaughter. She and I would go there before school every day. Most days, not all days. And they're not open for anybody to sit inside, even though they just remodeled the place, put new furniture in, painted it, all this nonsense. I don't suspect that store is going to make it anyway. There's been too many robberies of stores and holdups and everything else. The Chase Bank in the same building, they just shut down a few months ago. Oh, my granddaughter also likes to go to Dutch Bros. Went up there the other day, closed 2 days ago. So even a drive-through place, a drive-through, is shutting down. Yeah, tell me about it. I agree with that one, Ken. Jeez. So millions and millions of people, they've lost their jobs. They're never going to get back their old jobs. When we first started talking about this, that a lot of these jobs would never return, I got some pretty funky comments from people. Some people were incensed that I would even suggest such a thing, but now the truth of the matter has become obvious to everyone, baby. And yet a large portion of the population was not prepared for an economic shock of this magnitude. And guess what? 33% of all Americans don't feel prepared to deal with the financial impact of this pandemic. And it goes on and on and on. Look, just because things are going to be falling apart all around you doesn't mean you've got to be personally miserable. If you derive meaning and purpose in life from your career, your ambitions, your bank account, your social status, and all the things you've accumulated, then you're definitely going to have an exceedingly difficult time dealing with the things that are coming. And it ain't going to get any better anytime too soon, folks. But if you choose to derive meaning and purpose in life from the things that really matter, you're not going to be shaken even if all of your plans and programs and material possessions are taken from you. Just remember that all of human history has been building up to the moment that we're living in right now. And you were born for such a time as this. So don't crawl into a hole and complain about how bad things are as conditions deteriorate. Choose to stand up. Become the person you were created to be. It's quite a challenge for my friend Michael Snyder. Unreal. Well, let's go back and talk about some economic stuff. It's been a couple weeks since we've done it. And once again, it's not your fault. It's just things have been happening. Mark Twain once quoted that October, one of the peculiarly dangerous months to speculate in stocks. The others are July, January, September, April, November, May, March, June, December, August, and February, and on and on and on it goes. But when you look at history and the seasonal patterns of the stock market, we'd have to conclude that October is historically, in fact, probably about the most dangerous month for stock market investors. Biggest number of comments by, and I'm sharing with you a rather interesting commentary from a group of traders over at Seeking Alpha. It's not a site that I go to a lot. Commentary left by readers on various different articles that Seeking Alpha has been publishing, specifically over the last 2 months. Started about a month after the major market averages hit their bottom. Mixed comments. Some subscribing to the idea that we've seen the absolute bottom in stock prices. We've now entered an era of brand new bull market. I might suggest a BS market. Corona cooties. Biggest number of comments by some of the readers who believe in this narrative of a new bull market generally fall into two major camps. First, don't fight the Fed. Or to put it another way, the Fed has the stock market's back. Yeah, right. Sure. Comment number two, the economy will come back stronger than ever once the virus disappears. Well, comment number one's understanding is straightforward. It needs no explanation. But the second one shows that an awful lot of investors have been falsely led to believe that prior to COVID, the economy was in remarkably great shape. Oh, we could reference all the charts and the graphs that are out there to produce a counter argument to this point, but rather than do that, we could ask you another question. If the economy was in such great shape prior to the onset of COVID-19, why was the Federal Reserve slashing interest rates at just about every conceivable opportunity after raising them in 2018? We've got to remember the Federal Reserve raised rates in 18, attempting to normalize interest rates. And the attempt failed miserably. A healthy economy can easily withstand an increase in the cost of borrowing, yet the Fed was forced to cut interest rates 3 times last year. And it all happened before the appearance of coronavirus. Was this a sign of a strong, robust economy? I don't think so. In fact, the U.S. economy was showing signs of recession long before the coronavirus hit U.S. shores. So if the U.S. economy were already showing signs of slipping into a recession or the abyss, and now it's at depression-level economic activity, what would a return to pre-COVID-19 economics actually mean? Another recession? Is that a good backdrop for increasing equity prices? And furthermore, if we were already seeing signs of an economic slowdown, would not the stock market have eventually fallen from the lofty levels it achieved in early 2020? How far would stock prices have to fall to discount a recessionary economy? I mean, it's almost as if investors are convinced that the economy would recover to its former glory days. But then you see those glory days were already in jeopardy before the virus ever came along. But these are the kind of mindsets that are driving today's stock market. And for those of us who can see beyond the next bend, we know it's coming. And it ain't going to be pretty, baby. That's for sure. And if, in fact, none of what's coming in the future is going to be pretty, and I agree with this, then maybe we go back to answer the listener's question about where do we see silver in 6 months. We could say, Ralph Cramden, maybe it will be to the moon, Alice, to the moon. But you see, investors are living in a fantasy land today. They expect that no ill could possibly befall the stock market while the Federal Reserve keeps pumping money into an already overblown bubble. But wait a minute. Where's the money coming from? And I hate to say it, when I'm bending over to pick up that piece of paper I just dropped on the floor, where are they going to pump? Never mind. Look, all these things are a rather short-sighted view of how markets work. When left to their own devices, it's void of any fundamental analysis. It becomes obvious to me that all understanding and acknowledgement of economic fundamentals and their impact on stock prices have been replaced with a rather myopic and dangerous view of the equity markets as a financial game parlor where you place your bets and hope for the best. Which reminds me of a image I saw on Facebook today with a picture of a hooker standing on a street corner, and one was asking you the difference between a politician and a hooker. The difference is at least the hooker stops doing what she's doing when you run out of money. Our elected officials, they don't. They just keep on driving and driving and driving. So we face a Robin Hood phenomenon. Maybe a perfect example of how the masses can be led to believe that investing in the stock market is so easy that even a baby can do it. Huh? Yeah. We'll be back. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Money. What is money? It's not what it once was. It comes, it goes. We spend it. Buys little. Interesting piece I came across this morning. And unfortunately, what I'm about to share with you gives us a wee bit of gives some excellent history, but it ties so closely into the garbage that we're witnessing in this country right now today, the riots. It's unbelievably horrific what's taking place. Keep this in mind. Hang on. Problem is, I can't breathe. My nose is clogged up. I don't have COVID, so forget that. politics are hookers. At least with the hookers, you get what you paid for. Well, that's true. As far as the politicians are concerned, they just keep giving it to you. To judge everyone from the past based on their values of today, there truly is no end to how much of history would need to be erased. May 12th, 1703. The Russian army under Peter the Great captured an important Swedish fort on the Baltic Sea called Nyenskans. That was a major victory for Peter in his war against the Swedish Empire. Russia was a rising power in the early 1700s, but Peter was in critical need of a Baltic seaport to be able to trade with the rest of Europe. And the capture of Nyenskans was so important that Peter decided to move his capital there. And he renamed it St. Petersburg. Well, technically he called it Sankt Peterburg, which is a Dutch-German spelling of the name. Peter made tremendous efforts throughout his reign to westernize Russia, and naming his capital city in a European style was part of that effort. Sankt Peterburg remained the capital of the Russian Empire for hundreds of years until World War I broke out in 1914. Germany, you see, had become Russia's enemy, and the imperial government decided that they no longer wanted their capital city named in the German style. And so they renamed the city to Petrograd as a reflection of their updated view. Lenin and the Bolsheviks took over Russia in 1917, moved the capital to Moscow. And when Lenin died in 1924, the Soviet government renamed Petrograd to Leningrad. And it remained that way for nearly seven decades until communism finally collapsed in 1991. At which point, the city renamed itself once again back to St. Petersburg. Frankly, my friends, this happens all the time. Buildings, cities, provinces, even entire countries from time to time change their names. When values change, names change. In 1991, Russians no longer felt like naming one of their most beautiful cities in honor of a communist dictator, so they changed it. Big deal. Zambia used to be called Northern Rhodesia, but after they gained independence, they no longer wanted to be named after their imperialist ruler. You know, Cecil Rhodes. No, that's hardly controversial. And similarly, nearly every major city in India changed its name in the 1990s and early 2000s. Bombay became Mumbai. Calcutta became Calcutta. Madras became Chennai, etc. All to shake off their colonial roots. All perfectly reasonable. Well, there's been a broad movement lately of people wanting to rename streets and bridges and airports and buildings, etc. And that's also hardly controversial. But our social values are remarkably different than they were when many of those landmarks were built. It's not unusual for names to change to keep up with the times. There's really nothing wrong with that. There is, however, supposed to be a peaceful democratic procedure to change names and remove monuments, and only a fool with no intelligent argument resorts to violence and vandalism. You see, the problem with renaming stuff, however, is it can be a bottomless rabbit hole. If we're supposed to judge everyone who has been dead for hundreds of years against the values that we hold dearly today, then there really is no end. I mean, look at the currency of the United States. A $1 bill. George Washington, who despite being the single most important factor in winning the American Revolution, also happened to be a slave owner. $2 bill, Thomas Jefferson, also a slave owner, but then he dallied around with Sally, you know. $5 bill, Abe Lincoln, the great Amansa effing pater of the slaves, and yet also made numerous racist comments. such as this quote from his first debate against Stephen Douglas in 1858 when he said, "I, as well as Judge Douglas, am in favor of the race to which I belong having the superior position." Of course, then there's the cat on the $10 bill, Alex. Alexander Hamilton. Yeah, he's got a catchy musical in his honor that promotes him as an abolitionist, but Hamilton married into a prominent slave-owning family. Handled transactions regarding the purchase of slaves on the family's behalf. And even once demanded that a runaway slave be returned to captivity. But then, of course, if you do a little bit further research into Alexander Hamilton, apparently his stepfather might have been a choo-choo bee who may have been involved with some degree of, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, the claim was he was half-Jewish, so what the heck. Now we got the $20 bill. Andrew Jackson, hardcore racist, major slave owner, which means he'll probably be the first one to be replaced. So don't stock up on too many $20 bills, okay? Of course, then we got the $50 bill with Ulysses Simpson Grant on it, who actually fought and won the Civil War and yet technically did own a slave at one point in his life. Ben Franklin, a slave owner. That's the first time I've heard that one, but maybe he was. I mean, he's the cat on the C-note, you know. I mean, it's not hard to keep going. Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, named after a slave owner, William Penn. Commonwealth of Virginia, named after the Virgin Queen, Elizabeth I of England, a blatant racist who wrote to the Lord Mayor of London in 1596 that there's too many black Moors in the city and expressed her good pleasure to have those kind of people sent out of the land. State of Louisiana, named after King Louis XIV of France, who presided over the enslavement of countless natives across his global dominion. But let's not forget these United States of America, along with two continents, are named after Amerigo Vespucci, a man who enslaved thousands of people. So do we rename cities and states? Do we rename the country? Maybe we just call the entire nation the Republic of Chaz, man. Do we bother weighing someone's accomplishments against their shortcomings? Or do we condemn everyone for being out of step with our modern values? Because we can also apply the same logic to science and literature and philosophy. I mean, there's so many famous authors from the past who were racist or misogynist or raging anti-Semites. Do we stop reading them? Should the mob torch their books? Even many of the most prominent minds from ancient Greece would qualify as bigots today. I mean, what about Aristotle? Yeah, a cat believed in natural-born slaves. Should he be banned? Should we stop teaching the Pythagorean theorem? I mean, even Abraham. I ain't talking about Lincoln. I'm talking about the cat. You know, this is a patriarch of Islam and Judaism and Christianity. He was a slave owner. So, yeah, it's not unusual for or controversial to rename anything, but to judge everyone from the past based on the values today, there ain't no end to how much history is going to need to be erased. It's unreal. A wee bit of satire, even published on Federal Observer. So what else do we continue to run into? We're in deep trouble here, folks. Absolute deep trouble. I am finding over the last few days, I am, honest to God, going to Facebook less and less because I cannot stomach it. I am finding it to be so depressing. It's not the reason I went there to begin with. It's not the reason I joined. It was a way to stay in touch with family and friends. Well, I've greatly expanded my so-called friends on Facebook. Had a couple of relatives friended me, and I, in time, unfriended them for many, many reasons. Folks, we're in trouble. We are in big, big trouble. Now, I have an issue. Michael, you with me? Good. I need to run a piece of music because I have to go down the hall to the library for a moment. Now, that's a rarity, but I got to do it. So, folks, stick around. I'll be right back with you in just a couple minutes. Abba, Abba, Abba. My goodness gracious. We're back. Sorry about that. That is an absolute rarity. But sometimes things happen, you know. I've had an awful lot of stuff to drink today. It's hot out here. It's nasty hot out here. And I've been drinking a lot of water, a lot of Gatorade, my more than fair share of coffee. It goes on and on and on. And, whoa, it caught up with me. Unreal. What is this? 103rd time's a charm. Here's a guy who hit a 92-year-old individual. Guy's been arrested 103 times, and son of a gun, he gets a $50,000 bail. This is insane. Why do these crooked SOBs keep getting let off the hook? Why do they just keep turning them loose? I don't get it, people. Oh, are they afraid he's going to get COVID? Good. Let him get it. Let him die. I don't give a damn. Hey, let's share a couple other things with you. Just some things for you to look at. It is exceptionally rare that I come to do a program and run out of things to talk about. Interesting piece over at our website, federalobserver.com, a piece that was written, I think, a couple of years ago, but very well written, entitled, I Grew Up in a Communist System. And her subtitle, although that's what I've given it, says, Here's What Americans Don't Understand About Freedom. It is an amazing story to read. It is one I would strongly urge you to forward out to any of your friends, your family, even some of those are questionable friends. I grew up in a communist system. You can find that at federalobserver.com. And I'm just sharing with you a few of the headlines that are on the front page. The piece I shared with you on Tuesday night call, We're Not All of This Together. The more I read that piece, the more profound it becomes to me. The story I shared with you about Matt Taibbi the other night, no doubt an absolute liberal who is now unloaded on the media saying the American left has lost its mind. My God, he is one part of the American left. And yet he's just picking on most of the so-called news media idiots. Interesting video entitled, "They Will Do It Again." They will do it again. He said they will use this to lock us down again. Watch the video. It's, how long is this thing? 6.5 minutes. Well worth looking at. Probably could have actually shared that audio clip with you. But there's an audio clip that intrigued me the other night when I came across it. And it is part of a sermon by a black preacher named Vaughty Baucham, B-A-U-C-H-A-M. Well worth watching and listening to. You might get offended if you're of the wrong kind of human being. It's just a bit over 2 minutes. The basis of it is the concept of race, and some of you are going to disagree with this and get all stinky about it, is not biblical. We are one race. Don't roll your eyes. Go spend the 2 minutes watching it and listen to what the man has to say. It is profound. Very, very, very profound. A lot of other things going on. I don't know what kind of pancakes you're having for breakfast tomorrow morning, but you all know about Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben and some of the other stuff's been put out to pasture. Quite an interesting story about the original Aunt Jemima. Nancy Green was her name. Born into slavery in November of 1834. Hired in 1890 by the R.T. Davis Milling Company in St. Joseph, Missouri, to represent Aunt Jemima, an advertising character named after a song from a minstrel show. Well, we know who Aunt Jemima was. Ain't going to be no more Aunt Jemima syrup or pancake mix. What else they getting rid of? I don't know. They're just going absolutely insane. And I posted over at Metropolis Cafe in our profiles segment a piece about it. I found it an interesting read. Very, very interesting read. And you'll find that over at Metropolis. We got things posted over at Dr. Kelly's website tonight, including a piece that I'd forgotten. I was a guest on someone's program in June of 3 years ago and forgot that I had that entire audio clip, and I've moved it up to the front page of Dr. Kelly's Victory Over Cancer. The common name is drkelly.info. Another very interesting piece, first ever peer-reviewed study of vaccinated versus unvaccinated children shows that kids have a higher rate of sickness, 470% increase in autism if they take the vaccinations. It's a lengthy read. Pretty long PDF to go along with it, with the complete full study. Hey, listen, you want to talk about some metals or just call to say hi or shoot the breeze? You can always drop me an email through any of the websites. You can also give me a call, 602-799-8214. Don't forget, tomorrow is part two of our new four-part series. I mean, it's not a new series. It's an old series. But do join us for that tomorrow. Which one are we running, man? I don't even know anymore. Friday, from here to eternity. I'll see you on Monday. God bless. Take care of yourselves. Good night. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with the grunts and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor. And most of us are not sure if we have a too much, but we're taking our chances, say.
I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year, yeah, yeah. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances. Say, I sang it 20 years and a day, cause nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to war, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.